Before we go into the service for today, the main sermon for today, which will be given by Mr. Armstrong, and we are going to hear today the second sermon of a series on prophecy that he gave back in 1984. It was given about a month apart, so this second one was actually on the 10th of August 1984, about a month after the previous one, which we played last week. But before that, we'll go into the news analysis. I know that my daughter, who is not attending with us, but she was saying to my wife, I think it was, about my mother and how she was looking forward to the things that we are now looking forward to. And as far as the immediate return of Jesus Christ is concerned. And it's interesting that so did Paul and so did Peter and also the other apostles as well, and all the members at that time, they were looking forward to the things that you and I are looking forward to in the establishment of the kingdom of God. And the key to the entire issue, if you want to turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3 with me, in 2 Peter chapter 3, is that we continue to look at the situation in the present world in the way that we are instructed within Scripture. And the way that we were instructed when Mr. Armstrong was here. Because you'll see, you actually hear certain things in the sermon today that will indicate that Mr. Armstrong was not expecting it to go on for the length of time it has at the moment. But nevertheless, as we see here in 2 Peter, notice in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write to you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." In other words, remember things that you've already heard. And it says here, "that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Saviour," because they were actually looking forward to the kingdom of God. They were looking forward to the establishment of that kingdom, and you can see several instances where it shows that they're looking forward to it in their lifetime. "Knowing this first, that there shall come," so here's a prophecy that's absolutely definite, "there shall come in the last days scoffers who are walking after their own lusts, after what they want, and saying, where's this promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation." And in today's society, saying all things were from the beginning of creation, when people don't even believe in creation, the tendency is that you can look at this verse and say that's probably happening within the church. And it is in the church today. But as it says in verse 10, it says, "but this, that the day of the Lord will come." So it is going to come, and it will come when it does come as a thief in the night, "in which the heavens shall pass away with a great heat, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth and also the works that are therein." And that is both when Christ returns, there are going to be signs in the heavens, and there are going to be problems on the earth, and there's going to be an awful lot, you know, it talks about the sun being seven times hotter, so there are going to be problems there, and it's a mirroring what's going to happen eventually with Gehenna fire. So he's talking almost the type and antitype in saying these things. But it is important that we understand that verse 10, "the day of the Lord will come, the day of the eternal, the day that God says that he will intervene in world events." And we have got to, therefore, continue to look at the news that is around us today in the same way as the apostles looked at the news that was around their day, and the same way as Mr. Armstrong looked at the news which is around his day, and we look at it the same way. And we continue to look at it the same way because we are following the same spirit. And in that light, certain things are taking place today. There's an article here. Under an article titled in British Heroes, this is from the Daily Mail of Monday, October the 10th, and it's going on, I'll just read one paragraph. It says, "so why are they no longer fashionable? What has happened to our heroes? Our political and educational elite seem to be of a mindset that denigrates our past, agonizes over our military endeavors, and blackens the name of the empire despite its manifest benefits." And I also, even within the church, I've heard comments about the actual empire and what happens, you know, what happened as far as the empire is concerned. And I was going to say they have a short memory, but they basically are not reading it correctly, because you go into some of the other areas. I mean, the Sufi where they actually burned the wives, Suti and the wives on the Indian pyre. And you go into the Benin kingdom that was there, which is a kingdom based on witchcraft. There are many things that actually the British Empire did, bringing a great deal to benefit to the peoples it was there. Yes, it had its problems. But he says the powers that be, those who dictate who learns what, also seem to have a horror of the different and exceptional. Is it that the more similar they can make us, the easier we are to manage? And that is true. That is very true. If we're all the same, you can manage it. In other words, you have, say, a whole nation of shopkeepers, very difficult to control. You have a nation that goes to supermarkets, very easy to control. Because you control the supermarkets, you control the food supply. You control the shopkeepers, how can you do that? Because they're buying in local produce. And we have various things that are happening at the moment, giving this moral decay that's occurring within the society. This is from September, actually. It's one I had just in the side where I didn't have time to do anything with the news analysis at that time. But he's talking about a nurse giving a girl contraceptive jabs in toilets at McDonald's. And this was on the front page of the Telegraph. And this is what happened. It said the government's teenage pregnancy strategy came under fire last night after a nurse admitted giving a girl contraceptive injections in the toilets of McDonald's. And family campaigners and anti-abortion charities said it was astonishing and unacceptable, and so on it goes. But that happened, and it happened to come to light. It wasn't a case that it happened. It presumably happens a great deal, but it came to light. Another one that, these are various comments, again from the Daily Mail, who seems to be much more hard-hitting than, say, the Telegraph. The Telegraph tends to be somewhat right-wing, but it's not very hard-hitting, but the Mail is. It says, consider how standards and values once taken for granted have been eroded. Family breakdown in this country is now at record levels. Feral children, mostly fatherless and without a male role model, are a worsening problem. Discipline no longer applies in many schools. Crime is indulged by a penal system that hasn't the self-confidence or the prison places adequately to enforce the law. And was it 30,000 prisoners they were planning to release? That was in today's paper, because they haven't got prison space for them. So they're going to release 30,000 of them early. And that's the only way they can cope with it. And at every stage, New Labour has encouraged this disturbing trend. This government removed the last recognition of marriage in our tax and benefits system. And it has. It's wiped it away. You cannot put on whether you're married or not. It is just the benefit system has been changed to remove the stigma. It says, ignoring the evidence that married couples offer children their best chance in a stable upbringing. So some people can at least see that this is the case. It promotes single parenthood with extra benefits. It dilutes the disciplinary powers of head teachers. It presides over a sex education system that hardly dares mention morality or restraint. That's the way in which our society is going within the so-called enlightened Western world. And it goes on, there's various other parts in here. She says that this is a comment from Melanie Phillips. She says the single most important reason for this widespread disorder is the disintegration of the family, yet the government has promoted the social busting myth that all lifestyles are equal. It is actually encouraged lone parenthood by weighing welfare payments towards unmarried parents, a critical incentive for those at the bottom of the financial scale. And this is going on. It says, yes, tough measures such as these are profitable, are probably now necessary, but they will have little impact unless Mr. Blair reverses the whole direction of his government, which has ruthlessly encouraged disorderly lifestyles on the grotesque grounds of anti-discrimination, self-esteem, social inclusion, and all the rest of the politically correct groupthink, metropolitan trendyism. And that is what is happening within our societies, which is eroding the society, which is causing the society to go down and causing the society to eventually fail. Another one, it says, lessons that ignore good and evil. It says, schools are failing to teach children the difference between good and evil, according to a leading philosopher, and it goes in there. Now, schools are not where it's at. Parents are the ones that should be teaching good from evil, and by the religious teaching. Now, at the same time as we see all of this, as I've brought out before, we're seeing this steady erosion of personal freedoms. It says, another one from the 13th, it says, Charles Clarke, the Home Secretary, challenged the European Parliament yesterday to pass a long-stalled piece of anti-terror legislation, and the proposed law is mired in a squabble between European Union institutions, each of which believes that it should take the lead in crafting the legislation, and it goes on about email and phone records and gaining access to them. Another one here from the 10th of this month, it says, Farewell to Freedom. Cast your eye over some of the stories of today's newspaper, and cars are to be installed with chips making it easier to incriminate the drivers. Fluoridation is to be extended to most of England. Smoking is to be banned from pubs and restaurants. Work is going ahead on an identity card scheme in anticipation of parliamentary ratification. A lawlord says the government's anti-terror laws are exorbitant and unnecessary. Employers will be forced to grant paternity leave to their staff, and a bill outlawing religious hatred is about to go before the Lords. None of these proposals on its own is a moral threat to the liberty of the subjects, and a case can be made in isolation for each of them, but taken together, they indicate a substantial shift in power, and this is what is happening. There's, at the same time as there's this disintegration caused by a lack of true morality, at the same time they're imposing legislation which is almost fascist in its form. And what we're looking then, and remember, we need to be looking at where is all this going and where is it leading to. And you see here, this is from Monday, October the 3rd, the Pope tells bishops that Catholics must influence public life. And it says, a tolerance which allows God as a private opinion, but which excludes him from the public life, from the reality of the world and our lives, is not tolerance but hypocrisy, he said in his opening homily. So the morality is coming from the Catholic Church within Europe. So here we have this disintegration by Western standards. There is legislation being put into place to try and cope with it on a superficial level, which is putting and imposing rules and regulations and things that could be screwed right down and will be eventually. And the only voice that gives the kind of moral guidance is the Catholic Church. When man makes himself the only master of the world and master of himself, justice cannot exist. Then arbitrariness, power, and interests rule. Too many Catholic lives could be compared to vinegar rather than wine because of the indifference to God, the pontiff said. So you see this moral side. Interestingly, at the same side of this particular homily, the things that he was saying, it says Ratzinger was too strict for the German clergy. It says Pope Benedict originally removed from Germany to the Vatican because he alienated so many students and teachers with his intolerant leadership. That's why he moved to the Vatican from Germany. It says this is what the Stasi believed. Files on the pontiff compiled by the East German secret police portray the then Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger as both inflexible and a determined enemy of communism. He's really continuing what, in fact, Pope John Paul started. And we need to be watching this situation. We need to be watching it because something is going to trigger a different type of world. What exactly it is that's going to trigger it, we don't know. We can't say for sure. Mr. Armstrong speculated on certain things. He thought it would be the economic side. And certainly the economics we must watch very, very carefully. The dollar really is hyper inflated. I mean, the value, it just is not, does not reflect the reality of the situation at all. Something is going to happen. Another thing that we need to be watching at the moment that may well bring about, whether in fact it's going to be part of the trigger, whether or not it's just going to be an incident on the side in addition to the trigger, whatever the trigger may be, we're looking at bird flu at the moment. From September the 22nd, it says bird flu kills two in Indonesia as the minister warns of an epidemic. Indonesia is facing bird flu epidemic, so that was Indonesia. This is the Daily Mail, Monday, October the 10th. British bird flu experts fly out. It says British experts will fly to investigate today following two outbreaks of bird flu in Europe. Turkey and Romania culled thousands of birds and imposed quarantine zones at the weekend in an attempt to stop the virus spreading. And then you come on to the October the 14th, which is yesterday, I believe it was. It says, right on the headlines, it says, British farmers alerted, but the public told no need for panic. Bird flu, UK, urged to be on guard. And there's a, right on the full page as far as the potential problem here. And it says, Britain was urged to guard against a possible bird flu outbreak yesterday after a killer strain was detected in poultry at the edge of Europe. It says the bird flu trail is inside. At the same time as that is going on, we can go back to, October the 6th, and it says scientists bring back the deadliest virus in history. So here at the time, we've got this problem with bird flu, and at the same time as this is going on, it says the deadliest virus on record has been resurrected from a strain of influenza that was preserved in a frozen body of a victim in the 1918 pandemic and triggered a row about whether the benefits of its recreation outweighed the risks. Because they're seeing this bird flu developing, and at the same time, they say, well, what are we going to do about it? How can we actually cope with it? And they're trying to therefore, what they did is they went to a particular coffin and got a particular individual out of the coffin that died of this particular flu, and they managed to breed the influenza virus. But that is actually going on. Another thing that is going on, and we need to be aware, this is from Friday, September the 23rd, it says mouse with human genes is helping Down's research. So there's, at the same time, you've got this GM controversy that's going on. It says a mouse has been given Down syndrome by scientists who have created a rodent that in genetic terms is 1% human. Researchers managed the feat by implanting almost an entire human chromosome for the first time. So they're starting to mix the chromosomes up together. At the same time as you get the mutation of viruses, the potential for an absolute cataclysm in this area is huge. It's absolutely huge. And our strength, and another one here, this is from MSNBC.com, which says, this is, what's the date on this one? But this is August, actually. But it says, summer 2005, for decades, health officials have been scrambling to stamp out polio around the world. 3 years ago, Eckhard Wimmer, a virologist at New York Stony Brook University, figured out a way to bring it back. Armed with a genetic blueprint for the virus, readily available on the internet, Wimmer and his colleagues requested strips of DNA from a biotech company in Iowa, and the order was shipped. The scientists got out their chemical toolkit, and then, like kids assembling Lego, they pieced together the pathogen. Wimmer says that the experiment was intended as a wake-up call, and the major purpose was to show that it can be done. So here were some biologists who got the actual virus blueprint from the internet. They sent for the DNA bits by post, by direct mail, and in the lab assembled the virus. Now, if somebody had the nous to be able to say, right, well, if we take this influenza virus, now, I realize that polio and influenza are two totally different things. Polio is a very much simpler virus. To go ahead and create an influenza virus is something completely different. But it's still going in a certain direction. And we look at the certain things that are prophesied. Let's just look at that in closing. Over in Revelation 7. This is prophesied, and we need to keep an eye on it. As I say, something is going to trigger the problems that we're going to see within the world. Whether this is the trigger, whether this is just part of the situation, we can't say at this present time. But we need to be looking at this situation, where it says in verse 7 of Revelation 7, "And he'd opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast saying, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. Hell followed him, and power was given unto," it says unto them, or unto him, my margin says, "power was given to him over the fourth part," that's a quarter, "of the earth, to kill with sword, hunger, death, and the beasts of the earth." So the repercussions of the plagues, whatever that might be it by sword, by putting to death certain people, perhaps to stop an outbreak spreading. They may even kill certain people. It says by sword, by hunger, with death, with the beasts of the earth. And by sword, could it be that these are pathogens that are being laboratory created to actually be used? So you could be looking at something like that. Now, our hope has got to be in God. It's got to remain in God. And our faith has got to be there and in that particular place. Because as the psalm says, you know, 1,000 will fall on my right hand and 10,000 on my left. If I quote that right. And certainly that is the case. We do need to make sure that our faith is in the right place as we go forward. But there is a society that is sliding steadily downwards. There is an alternative there right now in a moral sense within the Catholic Church. There is a possible trigger within the genetic research, and if it's not a trigger, then it's certainly part of the prophetic scenario. And we need to be aware of what's going on. We are in the last days. It's not going to go on forever. And what we hear from Mr. Armstrong today to do with this subject is very, very pertinent.